when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. No matter where you people are in the world, our precious Blood River Radio family, I would like to salute you, I'd like to honor you, I'd like to thank you for tuning in today and tonight, wherever you are. I'd like to also thank our precious people who support us and keep us on the air. We have a few today. And people, you know that Blood River Radio is a Christian radio program, so you know what we always do. If you knew people, you will learn that if you listen to us very long. We always go to the Lord in prayer before we do anything. So if you will, just bow your head a little bit, and I'm going to say a quick prayer for all of us. Almighty Father, the maker of heaven and earth, the maker of all the seen and unseen, you created time, Lord, the very essence of time. You created that. You created what we know of, Lord, as the periodic table. The periodic table did not even exist until you thought it into being. You spoke it into being. You created all there is good, Almighty God. You sent your Son here, Jesus Christ, to save us from death, to save us from Satan. And Lord, I would just like to give you all our humble thanks and praise to you, Lord. And I would also like to ask you to continue to support Blood River Radio and all of our precious staff, our precious family on Blood River Radio. I don't think of them as a staff. I just think of them as brothers and sisters. And we have two on tonight. And we'll have a third one on in the third hour. I'd like to thank you, Lord, for all of those people. I'd like to thank you for little Lizzie and all the other people we work with. Lord, I'd like to ask you this too, to continue to give us guidance. Give us wisdom and discernment. Give us wisdom to see and identify the enemy. And if you will, Lord, open the eyes of all of our other fellow white people out there that are still brainwashed and have scales over their eyes and scales over their brains where they cannot identify the enemy. And Lord, where they have been so affected and so sickened by that old serpent, the devil, that they actually hate themselves. They actually hate their forebears. If you will, Lord, knock the scales off of their eyes and their brains and let them come to senses and see who the enemy is and join us, Lord, in this fight against the devil. Because it looks like to a lot of people that we're losing. But I know in the end, Lord, you do not work with the strong. You use the weak to confound, to defeat the strong. You use the simple to confound the wise. So, Lord, with that in mind, I'd just like to ask you to continue giving us the strength and the wisdom and the courage. The most important part of that prayer, Lord, the most important part of the formula is just raw, sheer pit bull guts that a lot of people call courage. That's all this in Jesus' name, amen. People, we have a few donors this week. They're just great. We don't have many donors. We just have a handful that keep us on the air. And number one is, I talk to him every now and then. We keep each other laughing and keep each other cheered up. It's Old Biscuit. Old Biscuit from down the swamps of Florida, down there in Gatorland. I'd like to thank you so much, Biscuit, so very much. I know you're on the road right now. I know you're a long way from home, but I hope you get back home quickly. And I hope you have a safe trip back. Also, Mrs. Buddy, Mr. Buddy's widow. Mr. Buddy died. We buried him on my birthday last year, April the 6th. Actually, he was buried before that, now that I think about it. But Gene and myself, the old bitter ender, we went over to Arkansas. We were two of the only people I know of invited over there outside that inner circle. And we were very honored to go over there to Mr. Buddy's memorial. I'd like to thank Miss Buddy. She's been a loyal supporter of us ever since Mr. Buddy died. Mr. Buddy was. Also, the old Sasquatch. I communicated with the old Sasquatch. He's also another Florida gator. He's down there in the swamps of Georgia, too. Just heard from him. And he sent me a little card. And I don't see it right now because I've had to clean my whole room today. But basically, it just said, he said, I love you, brother. Thank you. And keep up the good fight. And I will do that. I promise all of our people, promise God that I will keep up the fight as long as I can. Okay. A quick outline. We have two of my favorite people in the world on that are going to be pretty much carrying the show. That part of the outline is I'm going to open with a narrative when we're coming up to state my position on war and all wars. Lord knows I know about war. But and then I'm going to turn it over to them. They will take it and carry out the rest of the 2 hours. And just what's that going to be? We're going to be talking about Dresden. That's going to be the epitome of what we're talking about. Dresden. The third hour, when Gene comes on, we'll be talking about the Knoxville massacre of Christian Newsom and Channing Christian. We'll be honoring them. And so that's what we're going to do. And so, Lord, dear people, I guess that's pretty much it. So this is my little narrative. And Dresden is right in the middle of it. All modern wars are what I would call Jew wars. It's always the Jew all the time. There's mountains and mountains of evidence and documentation to back that up. The First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam, they were all started by Jews. They were all in the two motives that these Jews have is they have this thing called the Rothschild formula. You can read all about it in the great text, The Creature from Jekyll Island by G.W. Griffin, one of the smartest guys I've ever known. He tells you all about the Rothschild formula. Basically, in a nutshell, it has to do with they make their money off of debt. And they get, and they figured out a long time ago, the Jews did, nothing is more profitable than war. We see it even as we're speaking right now with these same satanic Jews screwing with the largest nation in the world. The nation has the largest land area and the largest reservoir of white Christians in the world. That's Russia. We see that. We saw it, like I said, in the First World War. We saw it in the Spanish-American War. We saw it when the Napoleonic Wars. The reason the Jew bankers hated Napoleon so bad is because he would not borrow their money. He would not have anything to do with their money. He was smart enough. He saw what they would do. That they would use that money and use debt to ruin nations and to bring nations, white nations, on their knees, begging the Jews for money. And the even more so than that, in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of Jesus Christ, is because the Jew, are pure evil. Jesus Christ told them that they are their father, the devil, and they would do his will. And if you want to know why they are so evil, just look at the damn devil. That's all you need. You don't need to know anymore. But listen. I'm going to say this. I'm going to close with this right here. I'm not going to go much further. I like to reiterate this. All Jews, especially the elite Jews, they have a hatred for white Christians. It's in their bone marrow. It's in their genetics. You cannot get away from that. You Judeo-Christians, you Southern Baptists, you Presbyterians, you Episcopalians, until you get away from that stupid, that satanic, warped theory that you, there's a, such a thing as a Judeo-Christian, that you have to worship Jews in Israel in order to get into heaven. As long as you have that mindset, you're going to bust hell wide open, because you can't be a Christian and believe that way. You've got your worshiping idols, the Jew idol and the Christian idol. And let me tell you what happens. When the Jew gets complete, utter control over white Christians, you know what you get? You get Dresdens. That is the prototype of what happens. You get the South, 1860. But that's it. I've kind of tuned up, wound up my narrative, and I'm kind of wound up anyway. So we're going to go to this first break. We come right back. We're going to have my brother Paul Fromm, my sister Monica Schaefer. They're going to take the wheel and carry us to through the second hour. Be right back, folks.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep, and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I kind of set the tone. If you know, I'm a very emotional person because I love our people so much, and I cannot stand to see our people injured. And so, people, that I dropped my napalm there and set the table. Now, my dear brother Paul Fromm, he's been in this battle for, I've asked him before, I don't remember exactly how long, but it's, I will just say, the early 60s, he's been a warrior for our people. Sister Monica's not quite as old as we are, but she's been in this battle a long time. And they're both of very proud Germanic blood. Paul has keeps going to tell you later about a memorial they're going to have for Dresden, Germany, in Canada. I'll let him tell you that. So with that, I'm introducing you. Since Sister Monica's a lady, we'll bring her on. Well, I'm still old school. I still think the ladies go first. So Sister Monica, it's so good to have you on. How are you doing tonight, Sister?
I always do appreciate your Southern gentlemanliness, Eddie. Thank you very much. I'm doing fine. And what I would like to do today, but I will wait till after Paul has made his greeting too, but I would like to speak today about the Wilhelm Gustloff, because it was the anniversary of that ship going down 2 days ago, January 30th, 80 years ago, when it was probably the largest maritime disaster in history, but nobody really knows about it. Everybody has heard about the Titanic, And right. there were probably five times more people who died that frigid night, January 30th, that were fleeing the Reds, you know, the terror of the Soviets coming and overrunning, you know, the East German areas there. And so I'll talk about that, but I will pass it over to Paul to make his greeting, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, I think we just got finished. You could hardly turn on any mainstream outlet in North America and not know that this past Monday was the 80th anniversary of the Soviet arrival at the German work camp known as Auschwitz. Anyways, the 80th anniversary, and there was much, guilt mongering and carrying on. And I think the one thing I do give them credit for is that they remember important dates, or at least they remember important dates they want us to remember. And we must too. We must not forget the past, and especially the abuse we've suffered. I've always liked the motto of the province of Quebec. It's "Je me souviens," which means "I remember." And we must remember, especially those of us of German descent, the horrible things that have been done to our people in the 20th century and continue to be done. And I often have trouble knowing what to make of Elon Musk. He's an unusual talent in space technology, in car design, and so on, in communications. In many ways, a genius. But he also takes a stand most of the time for freedom of speech, and he had the most unusual thing to say about a week ago, just before the so-called Holocaust Remembrance. He endorsed the patriotic right of center AfD, or Alternative for Germany party, but he also said, "You must stop, wallowing in the past. You must build for the future. You must feel pride again." I thought, holy jumping, those are revolutionary words. And he's not German. Germany has wallowed in largely Allied imposed guilt for 80 years. So much of it is absolutely false guilt. But it's debilitated, morally debilitated the nation. Many Germans are, well, Monica would know better than I do, but are so broken emotionally. They've got to recover their pride. To have a guy like Musk telling them that, I thought that was really important. Anyway, I think we'd like to go in that direction today.
Well, I would just say, sometimes there's some good words coming out of Elon Musk's mouth, but I think he's speaking with forked tongue. I hate to say it. I don't think he's our friend. I've seen quite a lot about him that is actually really quite satanic. So, but we take those words that he said that were actually good, that feel pride again in who you are and don't be wallowing in this past. But see, we have to explain exactly what needs to be done, is that the people need to be informed and wake up from the spell that they have been put under of guilt. It's the big guilt cult in Germany, and that has been brought about through this re-education, and it really got pounded into the Germans. They got it the worst, even worse than Canadians did, if that's even possible, because we really did get heavily dosed with the you know, lies and deceits of history, and the degenerative forces unleashed upon us, which, you know, demoralized us and basically brought us to where we are today. And but the people are coming out from this spell, and the German people in particular, they, I would say by extension, the white race in general, we have this thing called empathy, and it also means that we can be made to feel guilty very easily. If somebody just comes around and accuses us of having done something, and if we're misinformed about it and we're shown gruesome images about it, and we trust, we also have this sense of a high sense of trust. And so the German people have been brought utterly down to their knees, or worse yet, groveling on their bellies, to, you know, asking the victors who defeated them, and that's not the Allies, but it is the Jews, it's international Jewry who defeated all of us there in World War II, all the Gentiles, I would say, that, you know, the Germans were brought down so far that they are begging, you know, for, how can we please you? How can we please you? And this is what has been going on. But I think that is coming to an end. I think among young people, there is a lot of hope that the young people are just not buying it anymore with this Holocaust Remembrance Day. I think that came out in some poll or other where, you know, they were quite alarmed that young people are not interested in this stuff, this nonsense anymore, this tale that they have held us all in shackles with, this Holocaust narrative. I think you wanted to say something there, Paul. Did you want to interject?
No, I agree with you. It was not enough to lose a war and to have a good deal of their territory chopped off, to have 16 million Germans ethnically cleansed, expelled, with the agreement of all the Allies from formerly German areas in Yugoslavia and Romania, they call themselves the Donau-Schwaben or the Danube-Schwabians, from Silesia, which is now part of Poland, from the Sudetenland, which is now part of Czechoslovakia, and from East Prussian, Pomerania, and so on. It was not enough to do that to the German people. But the goal, and the one of the master propagandists for the Allies said, the war's not over. By the time we get finished with the German people, basically, they will, you know, they won't be able to rise again. They'll hate themselves so much.
You may be talking about Sefton Delmer, the British chief propagandist, commenting upon, after the capitulation in 1945. He said this to the law professor Grimm. May I read the quote? This is what he said. He said, "Atrocity propaganda is how we won the war, and we are only really beginning with it now. We will continue this atrocity propaganda. We will escalate it until nobody will accept even a good word from the Germans, until all the sympathy they may still have abroad will have been destroyed, and they themselves will be so confused that they will no longer know what they are doing. Once that has been achieved, once they begin to pollute their own nest, run down their own country and their people, not reluctantly, but with eagerness to please the victors, only then will our victory be complete. It will never be final. Re-education needs careful tending, like an English lawn. Even one moment of negligence, and the weeds crop up again, those indestructible weeds of historical truth."
That is incredible. That is one of the most incredible speeches, quotes I've ever heard. Dear Blood River Radio family, we'll be right back after this brief commercial break. Well, actually, it's a 5-minute break, so you've got time to do what you do all day. Be right back, folks.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Investigations continue in both plane crashes on the East Coast. All six people on board that medical transport jet killed last night when it went down in Philadelphia. A seventh person has died. That person was on the ground. And investigators asking for the public's patience as the work continues in the crash near Washington that left 67 people dead. Hamas has freed three hostages, part of the ceasefire deal in the Gaza Strip.
Two released hostages, Ofer Calderon and Yarden Bibas, arrived in Israel and were on their way to an initial reception point. Along the road leading to the military base, small groups of supporters waited for the convoys, waving Israeli flags. Later Saturday, American-Israeli Keith Siegel was handed over to the Red Cross. The six-week Phase 1 truce calls for the release of 33 hostages and nearly 2,000 prisoners, as well as the return of Palestinians to northern Gaza and an increase in humanitarian aid to the devastated territory. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Also at townhall.com, Missouri Republican Congressman Mark Alford tells the Salem Radio Network the media are exaggerating the public's reaction to the president's pausing federal benefits.
Well, yes, people are confused. They're concerned. They're scared. They're living in fear. The world is coming to an end. That's not the case.
He says President Trump is not stopping the distribution of federal benefits to Americans in need.
The freeze on the grant programs does not affect any individual receiving any aid from the federal government. It does not include the SNAP programs. It does not include Social Security, Medicare, nor Medicaid.
Well, meanwhile, all across America, colleges and universities now navigating the Trump administration's crackdown on diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. Some schools are reassessing various programs. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Right now, with an important...
Hear the term living better. What do you think about? More money, a bigger house, maybe a yacht? What about how you feel physically? How do you wake up each day? How do you sleep during the night? What activities you can and cannot do? When you feel good, life is good. So if pain is affecting your life, see how Relief Factor can help. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally, developed by doctors. It doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or even eliminate pain. How do I know? Absolutely am a customer. I take Relief Factor daily. No lower back pain for me anymore. In fact, the longer you take it, the more effective it is. Give their three-week quick start a try. It's only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Just one phone call, 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, relief wherever you're hurting. In 3 weeks or even days, Relief Factor can give you a chance to rediscover the true meaning of living better again. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 800-4-RELIEF for the one and only Relief Factor.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back to my brother Paul Fromm. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I think we'd like to talk, continuing the theme of remembering things that are important to our people. Sister Monica and I would like to talk about a tragedy that I'm pretty sure most people have never heard about. What was the worst naval, non-military naval catastrophe? I would say 90% of people would say the Titanic, because you've seen the several movies on it and heard Celine Dion and so on. How many people died? Oh, about 1,200. Okay. Have you ever heard of the Wilhelm Gustloff? No. It was almost 10,000 people died. Haven't heard of it. No, when did that happen? 1945. When did the Titanic happen? 1912. So we know all sorts of stuff about an event that took place a little over 100 years ago, and rightly so. Why do we know nothing about, or almost nothing about, Gustloff? And I think Monica has done some very recent research and can fill us in.
Thank you, Paul. And I'll just say that, in the break, the last thing you were mentioning is that you were a teacher and that you did learn while you were a teacher that you should never assume that your students know something, like whatever it is. And thus it is with the Wilhelm Gustloff. You see, because for me, this whole awakening process has come quite recently for me. And when I told you during the break that before I went to jail, I had never heard of the Wilhelm Gustloff. In fact, I kind of had a little bit of an embarrassing thing happen with regards to somebody writing me a letter. And now, I got many letters when I was in jail, and most people did put their name and their accurate return address on the envelope, and so I was able to correspond with them. But many people chose to write me anonymously or with a made-up name, and in some cases, made-up addresses. Now, it did happen to me on a handful of occasions that I wrote letters to these addresses, and then they would be returned to me with a sticker on it saying no such address. And I'll tell you why I know I can recall now very clearly that I did not ever hear about the Wilhelm Gustloff until I was in jail, because one of these folks wrote to me with a return address of, I don't know exactly now, but it was something like Wilhelm Street in a town named Gustloff in, such and such a state, USA. And I very innocently just took it for reality, and I wrote back a letter to this person on Wilhelm Street in a town named Gustloff. I know. And then it was, I think, sometime, during my jail, my 10 months in jail, that I became educated about the Wilhelm Gustloff. Maybe somebody else wrote me a letter. It might have, told me all about the Wilhelm Gustloff just by the by, So I put two and two together. I said, oh, these people, they put this on purpose to, maybe it was to have an impact on, the German authorities who are reading the letter or whatever. I don't know, but there you go. So anyway, that was 80 years ago, 2 days ago. So January 30th, 80 years ago, it was a terrible thing that happened there. And would you mind if I read a little bit out of this book called Hellstorm by the late, great Thomas Goodrich? He unfortunately has passed away just a few months ago. And this little bit in this book here is about these people fleeing the Red Terror and the mayhem there. And we actually, Paul and I both know a woman who, her name is Karen Magnon. She lives in Toronto, and I actually stayed at her home once a number of years back. But she was to get on that boat, the ship called the Wilhelm Gustloff, but the grandmother was, there was no, well, she didn't have a ticket or whatever, they weren't going to let her on. And the grandmother said to Karen and Karen's mother, because Karen was 4 years old, she says, no, go, 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 go. But no, they had been on the run for several months already. And Karen's mother said, no way, we're not leaving you behind. So they turned around on that crowded dock, fought their way through the people who were pushing to get on the boat and did not get on. And then that actually saved their lives, because that boat was torpedoed by the Russians, and they knew darn well that it was a ship that was loaded with refugees. It was not a military ship. In fact, this ship had been built as one of those Kraft durch Freude program that Adolf Hitler did, which is strength through joy. I think that's what it was called, so that ordinary middle-class German people could afford to go on a cruise holiday. So there were several such ships built, but then war came and these cruise liners were turned into ships that were, you know, trying to rescue refugees. So does either of you want to comment before I read a little bit here?
Oh, just, it's Karen's story is so moving and fascinating. I've known her for many years, and she describes herself as a survivor of the Gustloff. She didn't survive being, plunged into the Baltic. But she survived only because of an act of human love. Her mother, answer to the grandmother, we've come from East Prussia, we've come as a family, and we'll stay together. And if she had opportunistically just decided to take the two kids and get on the Gustloff, she would have had a one chance in 10 of surviving. It's a really wonderful story, and my group is bringing out Karen's story as a booklet, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. And she's just got amazing things to say. And it's a scandal that more people don't know about it. We should be talking about this. This is our history, and the Soviet submarine commander was general, being almost court-martialed for incompetence. He was eventually granted the Order of Stalin. Can you imagine a major state award for knowingly killing almost over 9,000 civilians? And they knew it was marked off with the Red Cross stuff. They knew this was was not a troop carrier. They knew it was not carrying weapons. This was carrying refugees. These were civilians, and they still torpedoed them. It was just a horrible war crime.
I'd like to ask quick question. Either one of y'all can answer. I wonder, as evil and as diabolical as the so-called good guys, the Allies were, I've often wondered if that was an American or a British submarine and they blamed on the Soviets. I've wondered. I don't know.
I don't think so.
There's a Canadian who did a video on this about 10 years ago. And the Soviets never claimed it was like anybody else. I don't think this is a false flag. They owned honored the guy.
Like you say, Paul, that ship captain got an award for this diabolical act, like you just say, right? So, no, that wasn't, I'm not sure why they would
Oh, I thought you said he almost got court-martialed. Oh, I'm sorry. I mistaken.
He was a notorious drunk. He misbehaved as a commander, but he didn't get court-martialed for sinking the goose lock.
Okay, I totally misunderstood. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, I'm glad we got that sorted out. But, you know, Paul, I'm just so thrilled that you are putting out a booklet about Karen Mannion's story. That is so important. Thank you for doing that. My goodness, that is really, really great. I'll be looking for that.
Well, I can't wait to hear the rest of this program as we come back from this break. Get your cup of coffee, folks. You get about 3 minutes.
Treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Sword of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I hope I don't interrupt Sister Monica and Sister Paul, but I've got a bunch of questions, but I'm only going to ask one or two. This is kind of a two-part question. I was going to ask Paul, will the German people ever be able to throw off that stifling yoke of guilt and self-hatred and recover their rightful pride? And this part two of that question is, the German people, I wonder if the pure German blood has not been watered down significantly because for several factors, for the mass rape of the German women after the Second World War, after the guns were laid down, and when the Soviets came in, and people, the Americans were probably as bad as the damn Russians there, mass rape. Do not believe that crap that they were good. So 2 points. Will they ever be able to recover their guilt? If they will, how can they do it? And is the blood, the German blood, has it been watered down so much? Because even to this day, troops are occupying, foreign troops, specifically Americans, with this hordes and hordes and hordes of black troops are in Germany. What about the pure German blood now? Go ahead, Paul.
Well, yeah, I've got to hope that there is a in the German blood, in the German spirit, that they will come back. They took a tremendous genetic beating in two world wars. And you know, some of the things you mentioned, the mass rape of German women after the war, the murdering by Eisenhower of over a million people in the Rhine camps. Yeah, they took a huge hit, but they're a resilient and creative people. They've got to morally find their feet again and find their pride. And I find even little uprisings like the Alternative for Germany hopeful. Now, you know, they're not skeptics of World War II, at least not formally. But and also, the time is not on the enemy's side. As each year goes on, World War II fades further and further and further and further into the past. You know, most teenage Germans today, well, obviously they didn't fight. Their parents didn't fight. Maybe even their grandparents that weren't involved. I mean, it's like trying to get somebody all stirred up about the War of 1812 and what a bastard Napoleon is. that used to be the what was taught in the Catholic Church in the 50s, but it just doesn't have any bite anymore. And that's one thing that encourages me. Another thing is that Germany has gone through a renaissance, and they did it with this incredibly creative period that occurred in the after the Napoleonic Wars, the Grimm brothers going out into the countryside, and it wasn't Germany; it was a series of German states gathering people's folk tales, encouraging the study of folklore, the beliefs of the people, the stories of the people, and then the music. Very pro-German music began to be written, and then German reunification in 1871. It's happened before. I think it may take another generation. And I know guilt is not reasonable, but I think rational people eventually say, well, it was 100 bloody years ago. Well, it will be another 20. And much of, you know, much of the rest of the world doesn't care. And much of, you know, whether they believe it happened or didn't happen, they don't care. And recent polls have shown a very substantial number of people under 40 seriously doubt that issue, that we're not supposed to directly deny in Canada. That's our state religion. No, it's not Christianity. It's Holocaustianity. I'm hopeful that Germany, the German spirit, will rise again.
You know, that I'll just make one final comment. We here in the United States, if we're not here, maybe Canadians are even worse off than we are. We have been brainwashed into white guilt, probably not nearly as bad as the Germans probably have had that, almost assuredly have had it worse than any people in history. Because of they've been such just pounded into the dirt by the overwhelming Allied force. But I'm hopefully, as the German people, you're optimistic for the Germans. I'm wished I could be a little bit more optimistic about the United States and Canada, but we'll see. We'll get Sister Monica's take on that if she wants to, or maybe she wants to go on something else. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
I would say this about it. The German people have been down before. And Eddie, you might remember me telling this story, but also when I was in jail, I had a book in my hands for about 2 weeks. And it was a book, a big, thick book of German poetry, going back as far as they could find German poetry. So obviously those very, very old poems, there were a few of them. And then as you went through the ages, there were more and more. And I just poured through this book and read and read and read these poems. And I'm telling you, some of the poems from several hundred years ago in some cases, or, you know, even more hundreds of years ago, or some in, you know, maybe just 150 years ago or so, they could have been written now. It was incredible. I thought, oh, you know what? The German people have been asleep before, or been put to sleep, been lulled to sleep, been put under a spell. And then when they rise, let me tell you, watch out. I think maybe that's why the Jews are so afraid of the German people actually understanding and knowing the truth, because the German people, their spirit is so strong, and nobody likes being made an ass of or a fool of. Nobody right. likes that. And especially a people as righteous as the German people, who actually they are always looking out for the underdog. They tend to do that. I mean, my father was like that. He always was looking out for the underdog. So if we're being lied to about who is the underdog, then we're doing the wrong actions, right? And so, you know, we've yes. been lied to about the Jews being always the persecuted people. And if we believe that, then no wonder the German leaders like Angela Merkel said, our raison d'être, like our reason of for being, is for Israel's security. That's, and then the current leader of Germany has also said the same thing. I think his name is Scholz or something like that. Anyway, these people are traitors. Go ahead.
That's absolute madness. I mean, we think about it, every sovereign country exists to, you know, be sovereign and take care of its people and improve their lot. The purpose of the, let's say, Mexico is not the survival of Gabon in Africa. I mean, the proposition is bizarre. The fact he wasn't just dumped with a load of yak doo-doo amazes me. There's a saying, I mean, a song, your part of the country, Eddie, that you know, I kind of like, and I think it captures my view of what's going to happen in Germany. Monica was saying the same thing, and that's the South is going to rise again.
I hope it will come back. Well, you know what George Lincoln Rockwell said? He said, when the white people finally wake up, and he said they will, he said that the Jews will pray that Adolf Hitler could come back and save them. It's going to be that bad.
Because Adolf Hitler was so nice to them, you know.
He
put them into these nice little camps where they could work, do work. But I guess the Jews don't like that very much. So, you know, that's why they were crying about it.
Oh, they hate work. They hate work.
Yeah. But, you know, we witnessed the breaking of a spell during the truckers' convoy. That broke a spell. Now, okay, we're kind of still, you know, we're not out of this yet, that's for sure. But Paul and I both witnessed that, and we talked about that last week and on my Flip Side with Monica show, and it was a very powerful time. It broke a spell, and I think that even from afar, people were really impacted by that, because they could see that this spell of, you know, the lockdowns and don't get near each other and stay 6 feet apart and don't sing, whatever you do, don't sing. I mean, I remember Bonnie Henry, our health officer, early on in COVID saying, don't sing, don't get together with, you know, your choral groups and choirs, don't sing, because you might be spitting on the other people. I mean, but they know that singing together is a very powerful thing, you know. So anyway, all these things happen. So when the spell breaks, let me tell you that it really will break. And we are very close to that, I would say.
Yeah, I'm hoping and praying that George Lincoln Rockwell was right. And I've got a suspicion he probably is. Well, people, with that, we're transitioning to the second hour. I can't believe this first hour is gone so fast. But don't go anywhere, because Brother Paul, Sister Braveheart, is going to be steady with us for the second hour. So be right back, folks. Go get you some coffee. This is a 5-minute break.